Good morning. Thank the Lord for the ability to be here this morning. I feel very needy today. Really need the Lord to help us out. I have a thought that the Lord has given me and I'd like to share it with you. I'm going to write a word on the board. Extremism. And I would appreciate your prayers. It's going to take us a few minutes to really get to the burden that the Lord's given me this morning. But I'll direct our attention to a very familiar scripture. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." We've talked about this before, how salvation is, Jesus compares salvation to somebody being born. When a person gets saved, they're a baby in Christ. They have to grow. And I've had four children and watched them grow, and I'm amazed at their progress and development and how they can learn things faster than I can. My 35-year-old mind can't take in things like their minds can take in, can't memorize things at the same rate. But on the other hand, there are things, there are advantages that I have being 35 that they don't have. They haven't seen as much of the world as I have, and they haven't experienced the same situations that I have. Therefore, they don't know how to react. They don't know. There's a lot of things they don't know. They're lacking in maturity and no fault of their own. But I was thinking, and I commented to my family last night, can you imagine what a tragedy it would be if our youngest, who's 2.5, somehow was able to have all the strength of an adult. How unfortunate it would be. We have to correct him. And there are times when he still loses all control. And at 2 years old, it's pretty easy to contain. But if he had a 2-year-old mind, but an adult body, then there would be situations that would be very difficult to handle for me. I don't know if I'd be able to do it myself. Probably have to put him in some sort of a institution. The Lord has things that He wants us to develop in as Christians. But there are things that we're not able to handle. And so He gives us, we grow just as a baby grows proportionately. He grows, his arms and legs get longer, his body mass develops, his cells develop. There are bones, his bone structure is different when he's born than when he's an adult slightly. There's a little bit of, and as they grow, their bones, a few of their bones fuse together, and I don't know how all of it works, but their bodies change. And they're perfectly fitted at the age they're at for their environment. And you and I grow the same way. As Christians, we grow the same way. We have all kinds of capabilities and things that the Lord expects of us. And there are things that the Lord doesn't expect of us because we're not capable of it. But as the requirements grow, our capabilities grow, we grow in grace and wisdom and all those things. And so, I'd like to. I'd like to read a scripture in Romans, the 8th chapter, and the 1st verse. Actually, before I go there, I'm going to pick up a couple scriptures. We'll pick this one up in Galatians 5. Galatians 5 and 16 It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." In the 22nd verse, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And what that means is that you can't have too much of them. But we also understand that the Lord gives things to us proportionately. And we as humans try sometimes to outrun our headlights, so to speak. We'll see what somebody else is doing, or we'll think that we have to be at a certain place. And so we try to be there, and we're not really there. And we try to act like we have as much faith as this person over here, and we really don't. And we try to behave as though we're as spiritual as everybody else, and we compare ourselves, and we're going and doing all this. And in 2 Peter 1 and 5, it says, "Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." And so, just as part of the foundation, I just want to state, and I know I've said this before, but I want to state that as a baby, our children came and they had their arms, they had their legs, they had their head, they had their mind, but it was undeveloped compared to what it'll be when they were perfect in their members. But they were undeveloped, and so as the years go, they keep developing. They develop in their mind. They develop in their body. And so this is exactly what these verses are talking about. It's not saying that if you don't have all these things, if you don't have a full measure of them, then you're not really saved and you're in danger of falling. What it's saying is that just as a baby is born with all of his members, so when you become a new creature in Christ, the Lord has a certain measure of all of these things. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. But some people, you can grow in your love. You can get more love than you had at first. But everybody that's in Christ is expected and has a measure available to them of all of these things. They have some wisdom that they didn't have before. And they have some knowledge and some self-control and some love that they didn't have before. What this verse in the King James, it almost makes it sound like that you've got to have everything right now. You've got to have it all at once. But really, if you go back to the original, it says that if these things, if you have some of these and they're constantly increasing, if they're constantly growing, then they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so one of the most important aspects of being a successful Christian is that we need to recognize that we are who we are, and that we're people, and that we have faults, and that we have future growth, that we haven't grown yet. We have development. And that we get to the place where the devil always changes the goalposts. As a Christian, one of the things that one of the tricks that the devil will try on you is, and some people are more susceptible to this than others, you feel like you need to move up in a certain area. And then when you move up, then the devil is jumping on you again, saying, "You're here, but you're not here." And making it where you're always dissatisfied, and you always think that you're not pleasing to the Lord, and you always think that you're not good enough, and you're running here and there, and you're trying to grow here, and you're trying to grow there, and you don't have you're trying to have this level of spirituality here, but you don't have it. we need to be content. I want to read in Romans 8 and the first verse. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." This verse applies to somebody that's newly saved and has the Spirit of God in their lives, and it applies to somebody that has been saved for 50 years. When we're saved, the Lord wants us to be able to have a clean conscience toward God, where there's nothing between me and God. It's possible. The devil wants us to always be under a sense of guilt, under a sense of shame. I'm not good enough. Nothing I ever do is good enough. I haven't worked hard enough. I haven't sought the Lord enough. And the Lord wants us to be able to have the knowledge that I have done everything that I can do, and my heart is clear before the Lord. There's not sin in my life. There's not this. The Lord has given me power, and I've been able to overcome this and this and this here I'm working on, but the Lord's helping me with it. And I might not have as much faith as this brother. It seems like over here we really shouldn't even be doing that anyway. But the Lord wants us to be able to be in a place where we are clear in our own minds and in our own consciences of where we're at. And when we don't do that, that's one form. That's how we can be extreme. I wrote the word extremism, and we really haven't talked about extremism yet. But I will say it like this. We read the scripture about meekness and temperance and how you can have as much of them as you want, and that there's no limit. And Jesus said things that sounded extreme, like, if your eye offend you, pluck it out. For it's better to go through life with one eye than to go to hell because of what your eye made you do. Jesus made statements like that, and those statements sound pretty extreme. But there is a difference between radical Christianity and extremism. Radical Christianity is when I give myself to the Lord, and the Lord expects that. I do not want anybody to come away from here today thinking that I preached that a half-hearted Christianity is acceptable to God. But there is a difference between half-hearted Christianity and balanced Christianity. Balanced is not... when extremism is when... remember what we talked about the baby having full strength? The Lord gives us capabilities that are all proportional to where we are right now. And if the Lord... If we try to have this right here in a greater proportion than it's time for us to have, that's a form of extremism. We're going to talk about several kinds of extremism today by the help of the Lord. Extremism is really a lack of balance. It's not people that are extreme are not more spiritual. People that are extreme have gone too far in this area, and as we're going to prove in a little bit, there are things in other areas that have to be shorted when we go overboard in one area. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so the Lord wants us to be in a place this morning where we can have a clear conscience toward God. The way to do that this morning is if we are walking with the Spirit of God in our lives. That's the key to this whole thing. We cannot, in and of our own selves, come up with all the details of how to live today. But the key, what I want us to take away this morning, is that we need to be walking with the Spirit of God directing our lives. He is the one that's going to give us balance. He is the one that's going to give us purpose and fulfillment. He is the one that's going to show us what to do here and where to grow and how I need to behave in this situation and that. We cannot apply solely to a set of rules or look at what our parents did or our forefathers or whatever. It's good to have those things for an example, but we have to be connected to the Spirit and walk with the Spirit of God, because when we do that, When we are walking with the Spirit of God, we can live a life where we know we are clean and clear before the Lord. And that's why Paul said, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." He didn't say, figure out, go to somebody that knows all the ins and outs and do that. He said, walk in the Spirit. You need to walk. That's really my burden this morning, is it's actually the antidote to extremism, is to walk in the Spirit. And I've been challenged very much recently that it's not so much about figuring out all the right things, because we're not going to figure them out all at once. What we need to have is a daily walk with the Spirit of God, where He lives in us and He gives us impulses and pricks and encouragement and leadings and guidings. He said that you're gonna hear a voice behind you that says, "This is the way. Walk ye in it when you turn to the right hand or to the left." We heard this morning a scripture about how the Lord said, "I want to guide you with my eye. I don't want you to have to your head be jerked to the right or the left because I pull on the reins and you have no other choice. I want my eye." There's force involved with a bit and a bridle. You guide somebody with your eye, that means that all you do is you just look in the direction you want them to go. And if our eyes are on the Lord's eyes and we can see where the Lord's looking, then we go that way. It's voluntary. It's of our own free will. The Lord says, "Will you move up in this? Will you change this? Will you go in this direction? Will you give this up?" And all we have to do is, when we feel those impulses, say, "Yes, Lord." That's all I have to say is yes. That's what walking with the Spirit involves doing every day. Like to talk about extremism a little bit in Christianity at large. What should a place like this building be to the people of God? I don't mean the building, but the organization. We have a group of people. We meet here every Sunday morning and every Wednesday night. I have seen churches before that basically had some sort of a level of spirituality, and they expected everyone to conform. It's not really spiritual at all to do it that way, but that was what their interpretation of it was. You do this, and you do this, you do this over here, and we have a list of things. And you have to think this way. We're all going to think the same way, or else you can't be a member here. And there are all kinds of, that's extremism. Because there are things that are pushed, aspects of Christianity that are pushed. I find in many different churches, and Lord help us, because we're another church too, it is so easy to focus on one aspect of Christianity. Some places, it's all about Christ's love. You know that that's really what, that's really important. Jesus' love, God is love. Everything should fall under the umbrella of God is love. But you know God has other aspects too. Some places want to focus on worshiping the Lord in truth. And we've got to live according to all the truth. No false doctrine in this place. And we're going to make sure that we weed it all out. We're not going to let anybody speak if there's a possibility that there could be some false doctrine let loose in here and that kind of thing. That's extremism. When a church, a successful church, needs to be a place where people can come and have the opportunity to grow wherever they're at, whatever level they're at. That's what a successful church is. We're really, the church of God is meant to be a growing environment for people at all stages of life spiritually. That's what it is. All cultures, both genders, all ages, all situations in life need to be able to come to church and get their souls fed without having stumbling blocks that the Lord did not intend to be there. We heard a little bit about offenses this morning, and the Lord put some of those things in our way, but we can put things in there too that that don't do anybody any good. Now I'd like to read in 2 Corinthians 10 and 12. It says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." Probably about the best example I can think of in the Bible of people that did that was the Pharisees. If we go to Mark the 7th chapter, we can read a little bit about the things that they would do. Pharisees were a group of people whose original intentions were to purify or to have a pure religion. And that's good. And you know, that's, if you look at most major denominations today, that's how they got started. Ours, every other denomination nearly that I know of, or many, many of them, were a group of people that were not satisfied where they were at, and the environment that they were in made it nearly impossible to grow spiritually. And so they started a movement of people that wanted to worship God in spirit and in truth. And that's what we want this morning. We want an environment like that. That's how the Pharisees got started. I think they made their appearance somewhere within the last 200 years before Jesus was born. 150, somewhere around in there. It says, then in Mark 7 and 1, "Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? He answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, If a man shall say to his father or mother, It is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye." So what was going on here, I'll just explain a little bit here. I think most of us know what this is talking about. He said, you all will allow somebody to give money to the temple while his parents starve, and say that's good. And when you do that, that might be part of your tradition. That's something that you accept, but it's something that's not any part of God's law, any part of God's commandment. These people came, and it says that they found fault. They were judging the motives of the people's hearts, the disciples and Jesus. You know that there was probably, I don't know how this got started, but as the law, as time went on, the law, Moses' law, kept getting added to, not in actual laws, but in extra commandments that were written. One scribe would write this, another scribe, and it got to where they had a whole long list of traditions that got started. And they would get started, I'm sure, for different reasons. Maybe one person that really wanted to please God was convicted. Maybe he was a filthy person and didn't really care about anybody else and didn't care about pleasing God. And the Lord dealt with him about it. And he said, you know, I really ought to clean up before I come into the house of God. And I think the Lord wants me to, my heart, it's laziness. And that's the reason that I never wash my hands and never clean myself up. And so the Lord wants me to do that. And maybe he testified of that to people in the synagogue. And somehow it got, this is conjecture here. And somehow it got to where they said, you know what? If you don't wash your hands before you eat, it means that you really are, you're not clean and tidy and your heart isn't pure. And you have a, you know, if you don't, you ever heard the saying, cleanliness is next to godliness? Where, you know, some of those things, the Lord will come. This is the beauty of walking in the Spirit of the Lord. Because He will come and He'll pinpoint things in your lives. And He'll look down at you and say, you know why you do this? It's because this condition in your heart, you need an upgrade here. And I have the grace for you. But then, many times, we tend to look at everybody else that's doing the same thing and assume that they're doing it for the same reasons. Oh, well, the Lord dealt with me about not keeping my house clean because I'm of a slothful disposition, and so I'm going to step up here. Well, this person's house is not clean. I just went in there, it's filthy. And so their heart is not pure before the Lord. That's what these Pharisees were doing. All right? I'm just giving an example. And so they established these traditions. I want to tell you, in Titus 1 and 14, it says, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. It's true that the scripture says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But that's kind of comparable to saying, I want to be like my older brother when I grow up. He's so successful in business and he's good at this. And I want to be like that. I want to be successful too. But if we grow up spiritually and we just look at what everybody else is doing and we do exactly the same things, the scripture says, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that what? Pattern themselves after everybody else that's gone before? No. Who walk after the Spirit. It says that if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Not because you want to look like everybody else. Not because you're under peer pressure. But through the Spirit. If you have a desire to please the Lord and you're walking in the Spirit, that's going to be the motivation for what you're doing. And so, when it says commandments of men, it says not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. I want to tell you that the Lord designed our whole universe on a very delicate balance. I have looked and studied just a little bit, and if the earth was just a tiny bit closer to the sun, we'd burn up. And if it was just a little bit farther away, we'd freeze to death. And many, many other things in the universe are like that. There is such a delicate balance. But the Lord made everything just so. And you know, He made things spiritual. He made the spiritual laws just the same. And that is why when people get together and they try to establish a set of traditions, even if they've read the Bible and everything, if their things that they establish are from their own ideas about how things ought to be, it will not produce a full a recipe. Think about if you're baking bread and you say, let's put it like this. Why do you think there are recipes of things you can go buy in the store? You know, you can go buy a Twinkie or whatever. And those things are they're closely guarded secrets, and so you're not supposed to be able to duplicate them. Well, they put all the ingredients right on there. So why can't you just go and say, oh, they put milk and eggs and flour and cheese and all this stuff in there, and so I'm just going to get these same ingredients and I'm going to throw them all in a bowl, and I'm going to make something just like what they sell at the store. It's going to be just as good. The reason that they're not afraid, they have to put the ingredients on there. It's federally mandated, I believe. But the reason that they're able to do that in safety to keep the recipe from being duplicated is because you don't know how much of each ingredient to put in. And you don't know the baking, the process. There might be two ingredients you have to partially cook first. I've seen a lot of times when Andrea cooks something, she'll brown some onions in a pot. And then she might throw some meat in there and then let that cook together. Whereas if you threw everything in the pot at once, you might have the right ingredients, but the product would turn out wrong because you didn't follow the process. This is the process, and the amount of the ingredients is what you get when you're walking in the Spirit, and the Spirit of God leads you. This says, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. It's not just saying here that there are certain commandments of men that turn from the truth, but some of them are perfectly fine. I want to tell you that if people are not walking in the Spirit of God, whatever traditions, whatever things they establish that just sound good to them are not going to yield the right recipe. They're not going to have the desired effect. That is why in many, many times I have seen this when a church tries to, when they compare themselves among themselves and they say, you need to be like me, you need to do this like me, and they have this critical spirit and they're always looking at each other. You know that no matter how fervently they try to put out their worship services and everything, there has to be a higher and higher octane level in there, because the things that produce the right thing are never going to make. I can say it a lot better than that. Lord, help me here. There is a simplicity about true worship, about worshiping the Lord and in spirit and truth. When we come together and we worship the Lord and our hearts are pure, the harmony doesn't have to be all correct. The melody doesn't have to be correct, and we don't even have to get all the... Sometimes we can get mixed up with the words and forget things and all that. But when we come together and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, having our hearts where our hearts are perfect and walking in the Spirit, the Lord gives an anointing. The Lord is the one that brings that. Think of it as a loaf of freshly baked bread where the ingredients are put in, the right ingredients in the right proportions. Men cannot get together, no matter what traditions they establish, and come up with that. They'll put the ingredients all together, but there will be always something missing. And so what they do is, they'll say, okay, well, we need this ingredient's wrong, so let's try adding to this. And so they'll put more of this in. And then that produces an effect that's not right. And so they'll put more of this ingredient in. I'm giving you, an example. And they're always, but the Lord has the recipe. The Lord says, this is how I want you to worship me. I want you to walk in the Spirit. And in the spiritual world, how we worship the Lord and the anointing and the power of God and all of that follows believers is very delicate. You can't come up with the recipe in your own mind. You have to be walking in the Spirit, because anything else is extremism. Extremism means that you have too much of something. That's what it means. You have too much of something, and therefore you have too little of something else. Paul was concerned for the Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians 11 and 3, he said, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The devil always wants us to have a heavy yoke. And we can serve the Lord and be under, feel like we're serving the Lord with as much as we can. But the devil, if we're not careful, the devil will put this yoke on us where everything's an effort. And I feel like if I don't do this, I'm going to go to hell. And I didn't do this just right, and so I'm going to go to hell. And everything is, you're always under this sense of condemnation and feeling that nothing I ever did is good enough. Jesus said that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. That is what the life of a Christian should be like. He came to set us free. He came to give us peace. He came to give us an abundant life. He came to give us joy inside where we can walk with a clear conscience toward him. But it takes walking in the Spirit. All we've got to do is give our hearts to him and say, "Lord, I will go wherever you want me to go." I had an uncle, I heard this at his funeral, and it's something I really didn't know about him. I had an uncle, Lauren Busby. When he got saved, he didn't stay saved for real long. He tried to live in such a way where he couldn't maintain it. He was so hard on himself and so strict and so fearful. And so he set a standard that he couldn't even make. He couldn't even live to it. And so after a while, he just lost out. But the Lord came by and visited him many years later. And the Uncle Lauren that I knew wasn't anything at all like that. Did he live a careful life? Yes, he did. He lived a very careful life. I didn't hear him have bad attitudes, and I didn't see sin in his life. It wasn't there. But at the same time, he had a peace and an ease that with which he lived, that he lived in a way that he knew what he was doing was pleasing to God. He had that confidence in him, and he didn't allow extremism to take control of him. And that's how he lived. I want to say this, that it is easier to go to one extreme or the other than to follow the Spirit of God. A person or a group of people, it is easier to be way too strict or not strict enough. Either way is much easier on the flesh than following the Spirit of God. Lord, help me to be able to get this out. It says, "I fear lest that by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Jesus wants us to be able to have, as it says in Romans 8, to have no condemnation in our lives because we're in Christ Jesus. We don't walk after the flesh. We walk after the Spirit. We don't look at everybody else and compare ourselves with everybody else. That's what the Pharisees did. And they said, "You're eating with unwashed hands." They had, instead of following God and asking, "Lord, what do you want?" They were always looking around at each other. And so, you know what happened? Their borders on their garments grew longer. And instead of trying to please God, they were always trying to outdo each other. And they were always afraid that they weren't spiritual enough. So they would add this, and they would add this, and there would be this burden that they would add. And it got to where they tied themselves in knots. trying to be as pure as they possibly can be. And there were many aspects of their life that suffered because of those burdens that they put on themselves. And the Lord doesn't want us to do that. He doesn't want us to compare ourselves with each other. He wants us to have a freedom in Christ to where we know that we're approved of God. And we know that there's nothing between us and God, and we're walking with the Spirit. I just want to encourage us today. The Lord has the Holy Spirit available for you. You can walk in it. He can live in you. He will live in you. That's what we're designed for as people. We're designed to be walking with the Spirit of God. You pray for me.